ان هذا القران يهدي للتي هي اقوم ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات ان لهم اجرا كبيرا صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وانعم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته. Dear respected listeners, the theme of this year's Path to Piety's program is connecting to the revelation. And my dear respected friends, elders, brothers, this is most definitely the need of the time. That is revelation that has been sent down to the Muslim Ummah through the means of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the need of the time that we connect to this revelation. The Quran is one of the greatest bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to mankind. One of the greatest gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, one of the most neglected gifts, my dear friends. One of the most neglected bounties is the glorious Quran. Today, we are looking here and there. We are looking for a direction in life. I am stuck. I cannot find any way out. I need someone to show me the direction. I need to find a way out of this. I need a solution to my problems. And we will go looking everywhere, my dear friends. But the solution to our problems and that direction that we are looking for in life, it is there in that very Quran which is residing in mine and your houses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that هُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has sent His open and clear signs, His open and clear ayat, through the means of the glorious Quran, on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the help of Allah, can take mankind out of the darknesses of everything but Islam and bring them onto that one nur and that light of Islam. Allahu Akbar. So this Quran, my dear friends, was this guidance for us. That every other ideology, every other methodology, other than the great and the wonderful and the beautiful methodology of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would guide us out of all of those. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he showed us this path, the path of nur, the path of divine light. Allahu Akbar. And we were supposed to use this Quran to come into that divine light, my dear friends. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that مَا فَرَّتْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. This Quran, it is so perfect. This Quran, it is so complete. مَا فَرَّتْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We have not left anything out in this Quran. Everything that is important for you, we have mentioned this in the glorious Quran, or we have indicated towards it in the glorious Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم. Today, we are living in such testing times, my dear friends. Such testing times, our iman is at stake. Our iman is under attack. So many deviant sects and groups around us. So much wrong messages around us. We are receiving so many different messages. And the Muslim youth, our generation, and many others as well, because they have opted to the wrong means to find religion. Media, they think religion, media is that place where we will find our religion. And, you know, somebody who is very articulate, he is the one who I can take my religion from. So because we have adopted these wrong means, my dear friends, we are so confused. What is the right path? What should we be following? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that verily, whoever holds firm to this glorious Qur'an, whoever holds on firmly to this glorious Qur'an, then إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. Most definitely this Qur'an will guide towards that path which is the most straight. That path which is the most straight. هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. These verses cannot be any more relevant than our times, my dear friends, where we just cannot differentiate between haqq and batil, between righteousness and falsehood. What is right? What is wrong? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this Qur'an was sent, hudan linnas, as a guidance for mankind. Wa bayyinatin min al-huda. And it is, there are open signs inside this Qur'an. Clear verses inside this Qur'an, min al-huda, that will guide you to the right path. Wal furqan, and clear signs inside this Qur'an that will help you differentiate between right and wrong. Allahu Akbar. Such an important need of our times, my dear friends. So I was saying that this Qur'an is somewhat one of the most neglected bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those things from the amongst the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, one of the most unappreciated bounties of Allah is this glorious Qur'an. Whereas Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَرَفًا يَتَبَاهَوْنَ بِهِ وَإِنَّ بَهَاءُ أُمَّتِي وَشَرَفَهَا الْقُرْآنِ. She says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that verily, for each and everything, each and every item, there is that one item that the people who possess that item, the people who have discovered that item, the people who have invented that item, they take pride in it. There is that one car and the advancement that we see inside that car, the technology that we find inside that car, the efficiency we find inside that car, we cannot see it in any other car. So the company who has made this car, they take pride and honor in this car of theirs. In the world of galleries and museums, that museum which has that ornament or that painting or that drawing, which no other museum has, they take pride in it. That we have something that nobody else has. And that university that teaches that course, which issues that degree that no other university or college can issue, they take pride in it, that only in our university will you find this course at this degree. So in everything there is that one thing that the people who possess it, they have pride in it. This is the honor for them. So what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? وَإِنَّ بَهَاءَ أُمَّتِي. What is the glitter of my ummah? What is the gold of my ummah? What is that thing inside my ummah that the ummah should take so much pride in it? They should be so honored by it that we are so fortunate that this belongs to us. وَإِنَّ بَهَاءَ أُمَّتِي وَشَرَفَهَا الْقُرْآنِ. The glitter and the gold and the treasure and the honor of this ummah is that same Qur'an, my dear friends. It is not a bojh, it is not a burden for us. It is an honor for us, my dear friends. So before we move on to Surah Luqman, I will share one more advice with regards to the glorious Qur'an. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu narrates, that Al-Qur'anu shafi'un mushaffa wa mahilun musaddaq. The Qur'an is the ultimate interceder. It will intercede for us tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. Actually, in another hadith we find that there will be nothing more virtuous tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. No prophet, no other book. There will be nothing more virtuous tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, more that will have more status tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, that can intercede more than the glorious Qur'an, my dear friends. So Allah says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Qur'anu shafi'un mushaffa." For those people who will fulfill the rights of the glorious Qur'an, then he says the Qur'an is such an interceder whose intercession will be heard, whose intercession will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for those people who do not fulfill the rights of the glorious Qur'an, Despite receiving this Quran, despite hearing and understanding and acknowledging the message of the Quran, they turned a blind eye away from it. Then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Quran is mahilun musaddaq. It is such an opponent. It is such an opponent whose words will be listened to tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. So beautifully, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in another hadith, "Al Quran hujjatun laka aw alayk." The Quran will either be a proof in your favor tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, or it will be against you tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. مَنْ جَعَلَهُ أَمَامَهُ سَاقَهُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ جَعَلَهُ خَلْفَهُ سَاقَهُ إِلَى النَّارِ Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, further in this hadith, he says that whoever will put this Quran in front of him, meaning the Quran is my guide, the Quran is my leader, the Quran is what I will listen to, whoever puts this Quran in front of him, subjugates himself in front of the message of the Quran, سَاقَهُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, this same Quran will drive him towards Jannah. This Quran, like a magnet, will take him towards Jannah and Paradise. وَمَنْ جَعَلَهُ خَلْفَهُ سَاقَهُ إِلَى النَّارِ And that person who puts the Quran behind his back, oh, it's not important. Or just take it from one ear and take it out of the other ear. Oh yeah, everybody will say this, but I don't think it's really going to happen. And whoever ignores this Quran, whoever puts this Quran behind their back, whoever does not fulfill the rights of the glorious Quran, سَاقَهُ إِلَى النَّارِ This same Quran will become a means of him entering into the fire of Jahannam. So before we continue, my dear friends, and before we spend time in the next 2 days of programs, let us make this intention, inshaAllah, that these programs must, I am coming with this intention, that these programs become a means of me connecting to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I need to go from these programs with this intention that I want to be someone who fulfills the rights of the glorious Quran. The ulama explained there are 3 major rights of the glorious Quran. Number 1, to recite the glorious Quran. To recite the Quran and the recitation must be done in its sound method, in its proper method. How can we recite the Quran if many of us, we haven't been madrasa in the past. We haven't learned Quran from anyone. Or we have learned Quran, but it is full of errors. There is no soundness in our recitation. So for us, we must learn. There are people around us who we can go to and learn the Quran. So we must read the glorious Quran. Number 2, my dear respected friends, we must understand the message of the glorious Quran. Fine, you and I may not know Arabic, or we may not know Arabic to that degree that we can understand the words of the Quran. Or even if we do, then we haven't taken out time to go into the in-depth study of the Quran. But we have again people around us, the ulama, the mashaikh around us, from whom we can sit in their company, benefit from the durus of the Quran, their lectures on the Quran, and then understand the message of this glorious Quran. And once we have understood the message of the glorious Quran, then most importantly, my dear friends, the third right of the Quran is that we practice upon the Quran. Everybody will try, inshallah. Everybody will make an effort, inshallah. My dear brothers, today, inshallah, we will discuss a few points from the 31st surah of the glorious Quran, Surah Al-Luqman. Now, obviously, time will not permit, and it is getting late anyway, and we cannot go through every verse of this surah. But we will pick, inshallah, a few points that will, inshallah, make dua, it becomes beneficial for me and all of us, inshallah. So some points from Surah Al-Luqman that can better our iman, inshallah, and we can bring these beautiful lessons into our lives as well. Surah Al-Luqman is named after a pious, wise man by the name of Luqman alayhi salam. Okay? Who was Luqman and where did he come from? What did he do? Inshallah, tomorrow we can discuss that. But because there are some advices from the wise words of Luqman alayhi salam in this surah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he named this surah, Surah Al-Luqman. Okay? And because it is a Makkan surah, The surahs of the Quran are either Makki or Madani. It doesn't mean that they were revealed in Makkah or Medina. What it means, every surah that came down, or every ayah that came down before Hijrah, was a Makki ayah or Makki surah. And everything that came down after Hijrah, after the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was a Madani ayah. And like the other Makkan ayat and surahs, the main themes of these surahs are 3. Number 1, to prove the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there is no such thing as polytheism. To ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has na'uzu billah children, or there are other beings that we can also worship, the way we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or any kind of worship. No, there is no such thing as shirk. We believe in Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because in Makkah Mukarramah, around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were many, many idol worshippers. There were many, many polytheists, those who ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was one of the main topics discussed in these surahs. Number two, Risalah, and proving the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Them out of jealousy, them out of spite, they were not ready to accept the prophethood. They were not ready to accept that this man, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was a perfect personality in their eyes. Despite that, they were not ready to accept that he was a prophet sent by Allah. And number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he proves ba'd al-maut, that after we die, when we die, this is not the end, rather this is just the beginning of an everlasting end. And the world of the hereafter will never come to an end, my dear friends. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prove through these ayat that there is life after death. So why do you, addressing the non-Muslims or addressing those people with this belief, that why do you deny life after death when this is inevitable, is definitely going to happen? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves this. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by bringing the advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he further supports this belief. He further strengthens this belief that we cannot ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Even the Arabs, they looked up to Luqman alayhi salam. He was a unanimously accepted personality. The Arabs were aware of his greatness, of his piety, of his wisdom. The Arabs were aware of this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a subtle manner, is saying that if Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam advised his son, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la zulmun azim, that, oh my dear son, never ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not ascribe partners with Allah. Verily, this is a very severe crime that you will do, and a very severe, a great oppression that you can do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking in a subtle manner that, oh Arabs, this same man who you also look up to, Luqman alayhi salam, if he is also of this opinion that we cannot ascribe partners to Allah, then why do you go and ascribe partners to Allah? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again in a beautiful manner, alif lam mim, tilka ayatul kitab al hakim. These are the ayat of the wise book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings these words, wise. Mufassirin comment over here as well, that this is from the gems of the Quran, the beauty of the Quran, that because a wise man, Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, will also be mentioned in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings that quality of the Quran, which resembles Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, al-hakim, the wise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this surah as well, and many other surahs as well, with these kind of letters, alif lam, mim, Hamim, Ain, Sin, Qaf, Alif, Lam, Ra. These letters are called Huruf Muqatta'at. Because we don't read Alif, Lam, Mim as Alam. We break up each letter and we read each letter separately. So as soon as we start studying this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us a lesson. Because on Alif, Lam, Mim, what do the majority of the Mufassirin say? Allahu A'lamu Bimuradihi. So many surahs, they start with these huruful muqatta'at. And when the mufassirin get there, what do majority of them say? Allahu a'lamu bimuradihi. Actually, all of them say that what is the true interpretation, what is the true meaning of these letters? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Even those who have given an interpretation, it's only just a sign. They're trying to give some sort of indication that it probably means something like this. But they have not got to the depth of the ocean of the huruful muqatta'at. So the first lesson Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches you and I, that O human being, no matter how much you will excel in knowledge, O human being, no matter how much you will study, remember your knowledge can never compare, can never match to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because even something simple like alif and lam and meem, you do not even know the meaning of it. Rather, what did Khadr say to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam when they were in the ocean in the boat, and a small bird came, And from the edge of the boat, he dipped it, the bird, it dipped its beak into the ocean. So then Khadr said to Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, "Oh Musa, look at this. My knowledge and your knowledge in comparison to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like that drop from the ocean on the beak of this bird, and the remaining ocean is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that no matter how big you'll become, how knowledgeable you'll become, how much study you will do, you can never, don't remember, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Upon every knowledgeable person, there is somebody more knowledgeable. And you can never match the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nor can you come close to it. Number two, Alif Lam Mim, this is from the i'jaz of the Quran, the miraculous nature of the glorious Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, different places of the Quran, He challenges the disbelievers. Those who do not accept the message of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges them. And this challenge is not only today, and nor has it only been for the last 1400 years. But till the day of judgment, Allah ta'ala challenges mankind. And Allah ta'ala says in different places that if you are in any kind of doubt, or you cannot accept the message of this Quran, then bring 10 surahs from the different surahs of the Quran. At least match 10 surahs. Bring 10 surahs that can match 10 surahs of the glorious Quran. They have not been able to. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fine, at least 10 verses. Bring 10 verses. 10 verses from over 6,000 verses of the Quran. Pick any 10 verses. And you try to make up 10 verses to match the verses of the Quran. They were not able to. Then Allah ta'ala says, leave out 10 verses. Let's take the smallest surah of the Quran. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. 3 verses. O mankind, get together, all of you get together. And just bring one small surah. Just bring 3 ayat of your own that can match the ayat of the glorious Quran. My dear respected friends, the world will come to an end, but nobody will be able to challenge and fulfill this challenge given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by bringing Alif Lam Mim, is telling these people that you cannot even bring something simple like 3 different letters of the Arabic language. You cannot even put 3 of these letters together and match something of the likes of the glorious Quran. Allahu Akbar. So Alif Lam Mim, from the i'jaz, the miraculous nature of the glorious Quran, from the challenges of the glorious Quran. And number 3, my dear friends, in Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. Allah addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is very, very serious. It's very, very important, this message. Because many of our youngsters, they are engaged in this fitna, in this tribulation, in this big problem, in this big mess. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al Imran, in the opening verses, that it is Allah who has revealed the Quran upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from this Quran, minhu ayatun muhkamat. There are many ayat which their meaning is clear cut, it's open. It's easily understood. Hunna ummul kitab. These are the foundational verses of the Quran. And wa ukharu mutashabihat. There are many other verses that have unclear meanings. Meaning you will understand what these Arabic words mean. But what is the murad? What is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does Allah ta'ala mean? When He says this, you will not understand it. You will not understand it. So why am I saying this, my dear friends? There are many, many verses of the Quran. Many of them related to aqidah. Many of them related to other things. And there are corrupt people outside. And I am not calling them corrupt. These verses that I will share with you, the Quran is calling these people corrupt. The Quran is saying that these people have crookedness. Their hearts are not sound. They have crookedness in their hearts. So what do these people do, these youngsters, these people who you'll find across the internet, these people you find across the media? And that's why I said that's not the right place to learn our deen, my dear friends. But what are the hot discussions out there within the Muslims? Oh, Allah Ta'ala says that Allah is the one who has settled on the throne. So let's discuss now that where is Allah? And where does Allah Ta'ala, where is He during the day? Where is Allah during the night? What does He mean when He has said something like this? Oh, Allah has said something like this in the Quran. What does He mean by this? And you will see that they will spend hours and hours and hours behind that discussion. And you ask them at the end of it, that what did you get? What did you acquire at the end of this? Or ask them at the beginning of it, that by you having long, long discussions on this. And Allahu Akbar, my dear friends, these youngsters, many of our university students, they spend hours and hours behind this. Hours and hours behind this. And you ask them at the beginning of it, you ask them during their discussions, you ask them at the end of it, ask them at the beginning that, okay, even if you get to the answer of this, and you get to the conclusion of this, what benefit will you get from it? What amali, what practical lesson will you learn from this? Nothing. And you ask them at the end of it, they will say that we derive no benefit, rather we have just put our minds into a big mess now. A big mess now. That before we had this simple aqeedah, we were able to accept it. Now I'm lost. Now I'm lost. I'm just so confused. And I can take qasam on Allah, my dear friends, that I have come across personally so many people like this. So many people like this. I warned them at the start. Don't get into this discussion. They would come and ask me, Shaykh, what does this mean? Mawlana, what does this mean? Or you know, Ustad, have you listened to so-and-so? Do you listen to so-and-so? I said, listen, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't listen to him. You'll regret it. Remember my words. And they don't know who wants to listen today. We are so stubborn today. We are so stuck up in our ways today. You know, we are not ready to look up to anybody. Okay, he's elder than me. He is more wiser than me. He has more experience than me. He has spent time with big, big mashaykh. I should listen to what he's saying. But no, he's just dry. He's just dry. Oh, he doesn't know anything. Oh, he doesn't know. That's why he doesn't want me to know as well. Okay, go ahead. And 6 months later, when you meet that person, he says, Ustad, I've stopped praying salah as well. Because I just got so confused. This one question kept on popping up, arising in my mind, that I have got myself so confused today. So I want to explain to you in the light of the glorious Quran, that what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say with regards to these discussions? These discussions that Allah ta'ala himself, he is saying, my dear friends, that وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Nobody can get to the true depth, the true meaning of these verses, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why should we fall into these long, long discussions and debates? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is the one who has revealed the book upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this kitab, there are many, many ayat. Many are those which are very clear-cut, open. They are not open to interpretation because they are so simple, so easy to understand. And then there are those which are mutashabihat. They are not clear. They are not open. They are not easily understood. You cannot get to their interpretation. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and look at the people around us, my dear friends, and ask ourselves that, are we in this boat as well? فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ. Those people who have got crookedness in their hearts, whose hearts are not sound, then they fall behind these verses. They get themselves stuck behind these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why? Ibtigha al-fitna. They are either there to create corruption. They are either there to corrupt you, corrupt our minds, confuse our minds. Wabtigha al-ta'wili. Or they are doing all of this so that they can find the interpretation that will suit them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Nobody will know the true interpretation but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we hear this verse, doesn't our minds tell us that, why did I waste so much time behind this? Why do I get myself into such futile discussions when Allah Himself is saying that you can spend your whole life behind this, but you will never get to the true conclusion, the true meaning of these verses? What should we do instead, my dear friends? When we get to verses like Alif Lam Mim, when we get to verses like this, which their meaning is not understandable for us, our minds cannot comprehend this wahi, my dear friends. So what should we get? What should we do when we get to these verses? وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. Those who are firm in their knowledge, not those who have just learn a bit of Arabic and just learn some surface knowledge, no in-depth knowledge. Not these, the ones with the in-depth knowledge. What do they say? Amanna bihi. Amanna bihi, whatever verse, as long as it is inside the glorious Quran, or it has come to us from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amanna bihi. We will 101% believe in these verses. Amanna bihi, and we'll also believe kullum min indi rabbina. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will leave its true interpretation and we will entrust the interpretation to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this message in Alif Lam Mim as well. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts about by talking about the muhsineen, those who do good. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets to a certain topic. And the cause of revelation for this, there are many ayat that there was a reason why these verses came down. But then the Mufassirin say that even when a verse would come down for a certain cause, for a certain reason, the power of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great that till the day of judgment that verse will remain relevant. And we will continue to derive benefit from these verses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a certain group or a certain person in Makkah Mukarramah. And these kind of people remain till today, my dear friends. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزُوًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are from the people, such people who engage in idle talk or who buy discourses of distracting talk. Discourses of distracting amusements. And why do they do this? لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So that they take people astray from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not are they just astray themselves. And not are they just taking other people astray. But they go one step further. وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزُوًا. They mock the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufassirin say, there was a man in Makkah Mukarramah, from the idolaters of Makkah Mukarramah. His name was Nazr ibn al-Haris. This person was a big businessman. He would travel a lot. So when he saw in Makkah that people are inclined towards this Quran, that this man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for us this great man, but in his concept was that this man Muhammad, he has bought this Quran, and now many people from my group, the mushrikeen, many people from the polytheists, the idol worshippers, they are also inclined towards this Quran that he has bought. They take out time, they go and listen. Some of them cannot listen openly, so they go behind the veil, behind the wall, and they listen because they are taken aback by the words of this Quran. So he said, I need something that can distract these people. So as he was traveling, when he went Iran one day, he went Persia one day, and he came across some books. And in these books, there were some historic stories of the emperors of Rome and the emperors of Persia, and they were entertaining stories. So he said, ah, this looks good. So I'll buy this, I'll take this back to Makkah Mukarramah. And he did that. He took it back to Makkah and he went to the people and he said that you go to this so-called prophet, obviously in his words, and he shares with you scary stories of Ad and Thamud and Qawm al-Lut, and he scares you with these stories. And from these stories, he wants you to take heed. And he wants you to stop enjoying the pleasures of your life. And he wants you to come onto this dry life, so-called dry life. And look, come and listen to what I have got. And he will share these entertaining stories. And they would find entertainment in these stories. Because my dear friends, remember, deen is not a name of entertainment. Deen is not a name of just fulfilling your desires. But when you will find something else where it suits you, it suits your desires, now the words of deen and the words of the Quran and sunnah and hadith become difficult for us. That's what happened to these people. And other narrations say that no, he didn't just buy these books, but when he saw people, they were taken aback by the words of the Quran, so he said that let me buy a slave girl, and she's a very good singer, she's a very good dancer. So anyone who is going towards the Quran, I will call them, I will tell them that, no, come to my house, come to so-and-so place, I've got something much more entertaining for you. And he will entertain these people with this slave girl that he had bought. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, discussing this person, Allah ta'ala says that not is he only so corrupt, that he has gone so far himself, so far in the opposite direction of hidayah. But not only has he gone so far, but he has taken so many other people off the track. Those people who are coming close to Islam, those people who are about to change their lives, he has taken them away. And not only does he take them away, now he starts to mock the religion as well. He mocks the path of Allah. وَيَتَّخِذَ هُزُوَى. Why? When you mock something, now the thing that you're mocking, you're decreasing the value of it in the heart and mind of the opposite person. So by mocking the path of Allah, he knows that now these people, they have no respect for that path because I have mocked it so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. For these people, there is a disgraceful punishment. Again, Mufassirin say, look at the beauty of the Quran. He tried to disgrace the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by mocking it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him such a punishment which will disgrace him instead. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says that when the verses of Quran were read to this person, then walla mustakbiran ka'allam yasma'ha. كَأَنَّ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ وَقْرًا. He, when the verses of the Quran were said to him, when nasiha was given to him, when he would get sat down, it would be said to him, come another, come to your senses, what are you doing? Look what you are bringing and look at this, this is truth, this is haq. How many people are you attracting and look how much this Quran, look how many people the Quran is, what are you doing, nazar? He would, oh, I can't hear you, what are you talking about? He would act like he's deaf. He would act like there is something inside his ear due to which he cannot listen. Oh, I'm in so much pain. I'm just not in that mood to listen right now. I'm just not in that condition to listen right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for such people will be azabun aleem. For such people will be a painful punishment. A torment punishment. Again, Mufassirin say, he pretended and he acted like he had pain in his ear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will really show him what pain is by giving him the painful punishment tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. My dear respected friends, how is this relevant to us today? Mufassirin say that lahwal hadith, this is what this person done. That lahwal hadith, some have translated as idle talk. Lahw means that everything that makes you neglectful of the worship and the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things that take you away from deen. Or if they don't take you away, they at least become a hindrance for you to practice deen. So this is lahw, my dear friends. And Mufassirin say that this verse is referring to or indicating to all those people who they have such amusement in their life, such activities, such engagement in their lives, that this engagement takes them away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's take our friend circle, my dear friends. Let's ponder over our friend circle. Hasn't it been the case sometime in your life that you came and you thought, today I want to go to the masjid and I want to find somebody who I can take some advice from them. He can hold my hand and take me onto the right path. You know, I can go to him regularly. I will learn from him. And what did our friend say to us? No, don't go to him. If you do this, your life will become dry. Or if you do this, your life will become like this. If you do this, you will lose your friends. If you do this, you won't make the money we're making. And these people are so bad that they themselves are corrupt, but they are also corrupting you and your other friends at the same time as well. And now because somehow they need to stop you from going to the masjid, they need to stop you from going to so-and-so talk, they need to stop you from leaving the sin that you want to leave. I can't deal with these drugs anymore. Yeah, I can't remain in this halal haram relationship anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't do that anymore. This is killing me from inside. This is poisoning me from inside. It's only bringing darkness into my life. Since I have been engaged in this sin, I've got so many problems in my life. And now I know this is the way out for me. But he doesn't want you to come on that way out. And she doesn't want you to go to that way out. Because they know that now their friend circle will reduce. And people The other, where they don't want people to go, they will have more following than him and her and us. What will they now do? They may be Muslims themselves, but now they will mock that path. God, I don't become like him. Look at the way those people dress. And look at what those people do. Have you seen how silly the things that they do? And when you go to them, they وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزُوَى. This is around us today, my dear friends. That when somebody, like they say, if you can't join it, then beat it. Someone who, they're too scared to come onto the religion, on the right path, onto hidayah. So when they're scared for others. They're frightened that if others do it, now we will be the odd ones out. So instead of that, let's mock that way so badly that everyone gets put off from that path. We've all had this experience, my dear friends. It happens in our life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for these kind of people, they will have a disgraceful punishment. For these kind of people, they will have a hurtful punishment. Coming on to this discussion of lahu, my dear friends. Futile activity. Futile activity. Again, ulama explain over here that this, like Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that kullu shay'in min lahwi dunya batilun. That every futile activity of this world, it is falsehood, it is batil, it is wasteful. Mufassirin mentioned that, look, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned lahu, the word futile amusement in the Quran, wherever Allah has mentioned this word, Allah has always mentioned it in a place where He talks negatively about it. So this word, this lahu now, can also, it can refer to something haram, because that haram is taking you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or it can refer to something which is of no avail in this world and the hereafter. It is of no avail in this world or the hereafter. Something mubah. Mubah means it's permissible. Nor will you get any reward in doing so, nor will you get any sin in doing so. Many a times, we do things, my dear friends, and we justify that thing by saying, oh, but it's not haram, is it? It's permissible, so I can do it. So why are you talking negative about it? Or why don't you let me do it? It's permissible anyway. My dear brothers, not everything permissible to do is to be done. It's permissible to walk out of your house with a towel around your body, covering your satr, because to cover the satr is essential. But how many of us come dressed like this to the masjid? Not everything permissible, not everything jaiz means do it. Not everything jaiz or permissible is to be done, number one. Number two, our ulama, my dear friends, the likes of Hakim al-Ummat, Mawlana Shafi'i Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that you will see in your life the lahu, the mubah, those futile activities. There was no benefit for me in this world nor the hereafter. We're not talking about sin. Wasting time in something sinful is haram, is poisonous, my dear friends. We're not talking about that. Oh, I was just scrolling on the internet. I never looked at nothing haram, but you wasted a lot of time behind it. You're so attached with your favorite football team, cricket team, soccer team, basketball team, that whenever they play, you have to listen to their commentary. Oh, I don't watch them because fine, the satr may be open, or this is the ruling, that is the ruling. But I listen to the commentary so much. Or he listens to some kind of talk, some debate, which again, there was no benefit of this world, nor the hereafter. Something beneficial of this world, you can adopt it. But there was no benefit for him in this world, nor the hereafter. Oh, this thing is jaiz, and you know, we spend hours and hours behind it, whether it's, you know, table tennis or this sport or that activity or this thing or that thing, and we're so glued behind it sometimes. We're like magnets behind it sometimes. Even this, my dear friends, fine, even these kind of activities, so Hakim al-Ummah Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayhi says that I can take qasam if you want. I can take qasam that look back in your life when you engage in a futile activity. It started off futile. There was no haram inside of it. But at the end of it, you ended up in haram. So he says that, la ya'ni, futile activities is like a string. One side of the string starts off with jaiz, mubah, it's okay. But then at the end of it, you will find yourself in haram. For example, it's Eid day, we've got no work tomorrow, we're on holiday, we say, cholo, let's sit around. Let's sit around, gupshup, gossip. And we're gossiping. So-and-so comes into the conversation. He comes into the conversation. And now we've ended up ourselves in ghiba. Oh, joyriding. Oh, we're just going around driving. We've got a new car. Friends got a new car. Let's go around driving in this car. And before you know it, they've ended up themselves somewhere where now they cannot control their eyes. They cannot control what they're listening to. And so it started off with mubah, but he got himself to haram. Second thing. So you wasted time. Number two, you've got yourself into haram. Number three, my dear respected friends, do never ever say to yourself that, oh, fine, there's no worldly benefit, no benefit of the hereafter. For example, listening to the commentary of my favorite soccer team, what benefit will I get? But they'll, yes, if they win, they will continue to accumulate those millions, but it's never going to affect me in my life. I could come to a life and death situation. My favorite footballer is never going to even know my name. So what benefit am I going to get in life? So this, no benefit in this world or the hereafter. Never say to yourself, okay, oh, it's only mubah, let me do it. I haven't done nothing wrong. Understand this with an example. My honorable ustaz, Shaykh al-Hadith, as Mawlana Muhammad Salim Dora Sahib Hafizahullah, he says, time is a valuable commodity. Commodity. Take a businessman, he has his commodity. He has his capital. Okay, I have 20,000 of this stock. And now, I need to sell this stock so that I can make this much money. Or somebody else, okay, I started with a capital of 10,000 pounds, 20,000 pounds. This money is a commodity. The same way, time is a commodity, my dear friends. Time is a commodity. I will not delve into it too much. The hadith of Sahih Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you know, we can complain and we can say, oh, but he's richer than me and, you know, I'm like this. Or he has more skill than me. Or he has more knowledge than me. That's why he's advanced than me. There is one thing, my dear friends, where nobody can say he's got more than me. That's time. Because even the most knowledgeable man, he has 24 hours and we have 24 hours. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ النَّاسُ يَغْدُو فَبَائِعُ النَّفْسَهُ فَمُعْتِقُهَا أَوْ مُوبِقُهَا. Each and every one of us wake up in the morning and we have this capital. We have to use this time like businessmen. Let me use this amount of time, the least amount of time, for the most beneficial activity. We do that, isn't it? Let me get the most beneficial product with the least amount of money. That's what a businessman does. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains in this hadith, we are all businessmen of the hereafter, my dear friends. Everyone wakes up with 24 hour stock, 24 hours of commodity. This valuable time, time, my dear friends, time is something for everything else. You lose it, there is a replacement. You lose a child, there is a replacement. You lose a house, there is a replacement. You lose your job, there is a replacement. You lose a friend, there is a replacement. You lose time, there is no coming back of that time. There is no coming back of that time. So, my respected Sheikh, he says, take an example. The father gives one son 10 pounds, he gives another son 10 pounds. $10. This son goes to buy something, this son goes to buy something. The first one, he goes and he buys a poisonous snake with these $10. And he brings this snake home, and this same snake is the one which poisons this child and he puts him in so much difficulty and pain. This is wasting our time in haram. We had time, a beneficial thing. And we exerted this beneficial thing in something which has poisoned our lives, my dear friends. And now we will have to pay for it. We will have to answer for it tomorrow on the day of judgment. That's one son. He had this time, something so precious, and he bought something haram with it. Or he bought something dangerous with it. That's us wasting our time in haram. And the other son, he said, oh, I just went to the shore. I went to the bridge somewhere. And I threw that $10 into the ocean. Will anybody say that, oh, he has done nothing wrong? Will anybody say that? Will anybody say, okay, he had money and he threw it away, but he hasn't done nothing wrong? Because what do we say when we waste time? Oh, I haven't done nothing wrong. It's not haram, is it? It's not impermissible, is it? Nothing wrong with it. But respected Shaykh, he says that never say that when you waste your time in futile activity, don't think to yourself you have done nothing wrong. Because even that child who had those $10, when he throws meager $10, when he throws it into the ocean, each and every single one of us will say he has done something bad because he had something valuable and he wasted it. So time is not something that we can just waste, my dear friends. Just sitting around doing nothing or gossiping or doing something. Like I said, it will start with halal and then it will take us towards that haram, my dear friends. So like Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مِّن لَهْوِ الدُّنْيَا بَاطِلٌ. That everything from the futile activities of this world, it is falsehood, it is wrong. And it will take us towards wrong. Yes, It doesn't mean, my dear friends, that all we do in life is just worship and go to work, because work is beneficial for our dunya and worship is beneficial for our akhirah. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رَوِّحُ الْقُلُوبَ سَاعَةً فَسَاعَةً. Give rest to your hearts. Give rest to your minds. Time after time, take a break. Time after time, have rest. So, you had a match of table tennis. You had a quick basketball match. Or you just sat around, had a very light conversation. There's nothing wrong in that. And actually, ulama say, this is actually not lahu. Because by you taking a break, it benefited you in this life. It benefited you in the world. By you taking a break, you restored that energy to worship Allah. It benefited you in the hereafter. So even though the activity may look like lahu from outside, may look like something futile from outside, in reality it wasn't futile. Because it was of some sort of benefit for you. So let's make this intention, my dear friends, that the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, we want to exert that in good avenues, inshallah. We want to make good use of this time, this commodity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And the last thing that we want, my dear friends, is that us ourselves, or we make others engage in that haram. Mufassireen have mentioned over here that so many things come under this. You know, supplying something to the community, something to the people around you, engaging them in something that is haram, that takes them away from the path of Allah. Allah is talking about this in this verse as well. Oh, I don't take drugs, but I supply it to others. Oh, I don't do this, but I supply it to others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about these people in the glorious Quran. So much, my dear friends, that from here, Mufti Shafi Uthmani Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, great mufassir of the Quran, listen carefully. He says that from this verse we can deduce that even listening to the talks or reading the books of such people whose khyalat, whose methodology, whose way of thinking is corrupt, even this is haram. We can understand this verse of the Quran. So take care in taking our knowledge and ilm from the wrong avenues, my dear friends. Take it from trusted people. Those people who your mind tells you, this person is a man of the akhirah. This person has fikr for his deen. And my deen, I need to take deen from that kind of person. Not somebody who's just a means of entertainment for us. Two more verses, inshallah, and we finish. I'll be very quick, inshallah. So Allah Ta'ala talks about these people, that these people will have a disgraceful and a painful punishment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ النَّعِيمِ. Those who bring iman in Allah Ta'ala and they do good, for them will be paradise of luxury, my dear friends. Luxury. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give so much comfort. May Allah ta'ala make you and I from these people. Allah says, وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. Because this is the true promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to talk about His power, His might. And Allah ta'ala invites the reader to iman, that look at this great creation around you. Does this creation not tell you, does it not speak out to you, that it must take a magnificent creator? It must take someone to make something like this. And this should bring you to the tawheed and the iman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these skies. And how has He made this sky? Look at this roof we have over here. Even this roof, we have the foundations on the edges. We have these pillars in between. Because anything weighty, you have to put some sort of support to hold it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this sky is such that if Allah ta'ala takes away the balance from it, if Allah ta'ala, He is controlling these skies, He is holding these skies in place, if He removes His control from these skies, we will be sandwiched in between, my dear friends. That's how weighty these skies are. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. Look, you are seeing these skies, that Allah has made these skies without any kind of pillars. Allahu Akbar. Without any kind of pillars. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, look at the power of my creation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have made these skies. And then look around you, look, because there were people of the village, there were people of the city, different types of people, and all they had, like all we have around us, is cars. All they had around them was animals. Allah Ta'ala said, وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ دَابَّ. Allah is the one who has spread different types of animals and different creation on this earth. And وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً وَأَنبَتْنَا فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ بَهِيجٍ. It is Allah who has sent down water from the skies. and food is water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grows all sorts of wonderful plantation, all sorts of crops. Look at these animals. Each animal has its benefit for mankind. From some benefit, from some animals we benefit in one way, and from some animals we benefit in another way. Look at these crops, look at these plantations. Each and every plant, each and every crop, each and every vegetation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear friends, they have all of their benefits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'll finish now, هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ. O people who do not believe in the oneness of Allah, O people whose iman has become weak in Allah, just look around you. This is enough of an invitation to bring you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ. O people, this is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the creativity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِ. Show us. The Quran is saying, show us. If this is everything Allah ta'ala has made, then these people who you ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these idols, these beings, the sun, the moon, the ocean, these things around you that you ascribe partners, you make them partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you feel that it is okay to worship them. The Quran is saying, فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِ. Then show us, these beings, these things, what have they made? What have they made till today? Till today, one thing that these things that you worship, what have they made? Allahu Akbar, at the end of Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal nas, such a beautiful verse. Ya ayyuhal nas, O mankind, ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cited an example. Listen very carefully to it. Listen very carefully to it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ لَيَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوِ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. These idols that you worship, 360 of them, thousands of them, hundreds of them, and the sun that you worship, this ocean that you worship, this moon that you worship, you know, so-and-so thing that you worship, so-and-so thing that you worship. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا. They will never ever be able to even make one mosquito. One small fly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, something so insignificant, your idols, your ma'buds, the things that you worship, they cannot even make one fly. وَلَوِ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. Even if all of them got together, supported, helped one another, they can never ever make even one fly. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look how weak they are. How can you worship such things? How can you leave Allah for these things that وَإِن يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْ. That if a mosquito was to come and take something away from your idols, take something away from these other gods that you have taken, if one mosquito was to come to take something away, they can never ever take that thing back from that mosquito. They cannot win that thing back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ضَوْفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ. Those who are invoking and those things that are being invoked, both of them have proved to become weak. So Allah Ta'ala uses this to invite mankind. And look around you, look at the signs of Allah Ta'ala around you. This should bring you onto the message of iman and towards the tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And us Muslims, when we listen to this verse, we should say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, like Allah Ta'ala is saying further on, wala in sa'altahum man khalaqa as-samawati wal ard la yaqulun Allah qul alhamdulillah. When you will see that the proofs that you are presenting to them, even then one day they will have to accept it, then praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. So we thank Allah ta'ala that, my dear friends, He guided us onto this right path. He guided us, Allah ta'ala saved us from blindness, because my dear friends, وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. If Allah ta'ala had written misguidance for us, then there was nobody who could have brought us unto guidance again. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. That it is all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has guided us onto this path. We were never to be guided if it wasn't for the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we praise Allah ta'ala for bringing us on this. And we ask Allah ta'ala that, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Oh Allah, after this guidance, oh Allah, never take us astray. Oh Allah, forgive our sins, give us the tawfiq to do tawbah. And oh Allah, when the time comes to leave this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take us with the kalima. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen, wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.